You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusul wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-aqtiya amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, today in the recitation we recited Surah Al-Furqan. In Surah Al-Furqan there is a very powerful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَ لِتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And on that day, referring to the Day of Judgment, the oppressor will be biting his hands, his fingers. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. And while biting his hands and fingers out of nervousness and out of regret, he will say, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَ لِتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Only if I chose the messenger as my friend, as my pathway. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Only if I didn't choose so and such person as my friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Because my friend took me away from guidance after I was already guidance. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And shaitan is very deceptive with people. So this is a very powerful verse. It shows us about how, it teaches us as an ayah how to place our trust and loyalty with the right people. And if you place your loyalty with the wrong people, if you choose to have the wrong people surrounded with you, what will end up happening is that you may lose guidance even after having it. And this ayah was actually revealed after a very interesting incident took place during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Abu Na'im, he narrates that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man whose name was Uqbah bin Abi Mu'id. He was a mushrik, he was a polytheist. However, he had a habit that every time he would go for business, and if his business was successful, he would return back to Makkah Mukarramah and he would hold a big party. You know, we have someone gets a raise at the work, they come back and throw their friends a party. So if he had a profitable business trip, he would come back and give a big party in Makkah Mukarramah. Now, he as a person was one that was actually very listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to sit down and listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He was very kind to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he didn't believe in the Prophet, but he was very respectful and very kind. So on one particular occasion, when he returned back, he gave a dinner invitation to everyone. And on that occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also came. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been monitoring Uqbah bin Abi Mu'id for a while. And he realized that his heart was getting very soft. Every time he heard the verses, there was like some kind of effect on him. And the Prophet thought that this is the time that I'm going to now approach him and ask him to read the Shahada, ask him to accept Islam. So now when they started serving food, he came to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused to eat. He said, I won't eat. He said, you're my guest, you must eat. I mean, the man had honor, he was a host. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will not eat until you read the Shahada. Now, I want to pause right now and I want to make something clear. You don't go around telling people, I'm not going to eat your food unless you read the Shahada. The reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making this statement, I already clarified it earlier, but I'm going to say it again so no one misunderstands what I'm saying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been monitoring him for a while. And the Prophet realized that his heart was soft, and the Prophet knew him. So he knew this was the perfect chance. Arabs had this honor, this dignity. And he knew that this would put him in a tough situation, either Shahada or the Prophet doesn't eat, and he is humiliated in front of people. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he throws the bait at him. You read Shahada, I eat, otherwise I'm not eating. So he said, you know what, I've been listening for a while and I have been affected. Why not? Let's do it. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. A business party now turns into a shahada party. And everyone's enjoying themselves, they're partying, having a good time. Night comes over. The next day, Uqbah bin Abi Mu'ayth is just walking around in Makkah Mukarramah. He bumps into one of his friends, Ubay bin Khalaf. And Ubay bin Khalaf says to him that the word on the street is that you've become Muslim. You become a Sabi'i. Sabi'i means someone who has no religion. Meaning, that's what they used to call the Muslims. You become a Muslim. So, he said, well, last night, this is what happened. The Prophet came, he proposed the deen to me, and I have been listening for a while, and I thought it was nice, so I accepted. So, Ubay bin Khalaf said, now that you're a Muslim, you can't be one of us. You can't sit with us. You can't talk with us. You can't come to our parties. We are socially boycotting you. And this is very real, peer pressure in society. And it affects everyone, the young ones in the middle age, and even the elders in our community. How do we retaliate to peer pressure? How do we deal with cultural pressure? How do we deal when our friends abandon us because we've chosen a pathway in our life? You know, someone decides to grow a beard out, and the friends will begin to say, "Ah, dekho Sufi saab ban gaye. Oh, look at this man, he's become pious overnight." One sister decides to throw her hijab on, and another sister will come and say, "What, you couldn't make your hair today?" People will make ridiculous remarks like this, and they'll take jabs at you. I'm telling you. I was once on a plane. This is when I was younger, so my beard wasn't so big. And one guy said to me, "What, your shaver wasn't working today?" No, they're going to make remarks like this. And now when you come under that pressure, where you know that, and you know, living in America, being a minority, we would probably face this a lot more often. In terms of our dress, in terms of our wudu, in terms of our salah, do we pray salah or not when everyone's watching us and they may frown because we pray salah? So now here, what happens? Ubay bin Khalaf says to him, "Either Islam or us. Either we are with you or you're with Islam." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَلَن تَرَضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Right? The disbelievers, the Yahud and the Nasara, will never be pleased with you until you become one of them. They'll take one thing by one thing at a time, they'll strip your identity away until you have no longer an identity and you've become one of them. You don't even know who you are anymore. So Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth is put in this tough situation, and he says to his buddy Ubay bin Khalaf, "You and I have been buddies all of our life." Now, I want you to pause for a second again and think about this. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth at this point is a Muslim, and he is a Sahabi. At that moment, he's a Sahabi. What does the Prophet, what does Allah say regarding the Sahaba? وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Every one of them is promised paradise. He already has one foot in Jannah. He's seen the Prophet. He's accepted Islam. But because of the pressure from his buddy, he says, "You know what? You and I have been buddy all of our lives. I'm with you." So he said, "Okay, if you want to prove you're not a Muslim, it's not as simple as saying it. Now you have to prove yourself and go and spit on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he said, "You know what? I'll do it. As long as you guys keep me with you, as long as you let me sit with you, as long as I can do booze with you and dine with you guys and go eat and party with you guys, come to your parties, you come to mine, you know, I'll do it." So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he spat on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to Imam Abu Nu'aym rahmatullahi alayhi's narration, the spit, it made impact with the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wiped it and turned away and said to the people, "This man just made a very big mistake." And according to Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi's narration that he quotes, Imam Dhahhak rahmatullahi alayhi says that when he spat on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the spit, it halted mid-air and came back on his face. And it burned his lips and burned his cheeks like this, and he remained with those burn marks until he passed away. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said to Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, "You had Islam, you had everything. Are you sure this is what you want?" He said, "I've made my decision." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Then your death will come outside Makkah Mukarramah." And he said, "Who was the one who instigated you?" He said, "Ubay bin Khalaf." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "And I will be the one that will put him to the ground with my own hands." The Battle of Badr occurred. When the Battle of Badr, when the Mushrikeen were leaving Makkah Mukarramah to participate in the Battle of Badr, they came to the house of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth and they said, "Join us. We're going for battle." He said, "No, I can't leave Makkah because that man told me I was going to die outside Makkah. I'm going to stay in Makkah for the rest of my life." They said, "No, how could you stay behind?" He said, "You know what? Take one of my slaves. He'll fight in my place. Take two of my slaves. Let them fight in my place." They said, No. "We're going to beat them. We have a large army. And when we celebrate, we need Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth there." So he said, "Makes some sense." Then another guy came and said to him, "You have a red camel." A red camel is like a Ferrari. "And they will never be able to catch you up in your red camel. Even if you're in trouble, just run. And their horses can never catch your red camel. So he said, "Yeah, those two points make sense." He came to the battlefield. And that was the big mistake that he made. قَدَرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined occurred. He was killed at the sword of Ali radiallahu anhu in the Battle of Badr. And when everyone walked past him, they said, "This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that this man would die outside Makkah Mukarramah." As for Ubay bin Khalaf, when he came to the Battle of Uhud, the Sahaba, they saw Ubay bin Khalaf, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you see him, let me know." And they said, "O Messenger of Allah, he is right there." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, "Everyone stand by the side." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his own spear, and he ran after him, and he shot the spear at this Ubay bin Khalaf. And the historians say he was one of the only men who was killed at the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only man the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever killed in battle. Many times the Prophet would injure someone and tell someone else, "You come and kill him." Because he would say, how bad is it for a person's life that he dies at a Prophet's hands? So he wouldn't kill generally. If the Prophet was in a battle, he would tell the other Sahaba, "You take the front, you take the lead." But he was one of the very few people, and according to some, the only person who died at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So coming back to the original verse, now when we look at the verse does not name Ubay bin Khalaf and Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth. It's very general. And the reason why it's general, the scholars say, is because the message is general. It's to everyone. Sometimes you're guided. You have everything that you need in life to be in Jannah. But then you make the wrong associates, you make a wrong decision in life, you decide to take one pathway over another, and then you end up losing everything. Right? You were in Jannah, and then you lost it. And I think about this all the time. This ayah really resonates with me when the month of Ramadan comes. Because right now we're sitting here, aren't we all on a spiritual high? Can you ever imagine on a random Thursday night, this group of people sitting here right now at 11:10 p.m.? No, right? I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here right now at 11:10 p.m. If Isha Salah was at 11:10 p.m, we'd pair in our own bedrooms and jump in bed right away. There's so much barakah, so much spirituality. Every person is on their own unique spiritual high. You know, just a little push and tears will begin to flow out of your eyes. So we have it. But the question is that do we lose it after Ramadan or not? And if you ask yourself, what's the one thing that will cause you to lose your spirituality after Ramadan? It's your environment, it's your company. And what allows you to gain the spirituality in Ramadan? It's your environment, it's your company. Be very careful of who you choose to be your companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues on in the next verse and he says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. The messenger said, oh my Lord, indeed my people have abandoned the Qur'an. Because if they didn't abandon the Qur'an, they will always have good company and they would continue to improve themselves. You know, there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person who has a Qur'an and then he hangs the Qur'an or places the Qur'an on a shelf and does not touch it after that, he doesn't look at it, just lets the dust gather on it, that Qur'an will come to Allah on the Day of Judgment and say, هَذَا اتَّخَذَنِي مَهْجُورًا. That indeed this person abandoned me. It will testify against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very powerful hadith for all of us sitting here because we have so many Qur'an sitting at home, but we'll be lucky if those Qur'ans are even picked up in the month of Ramadan. Other than that, Wallahu A'lam. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجِدِمِينَ. And similarly, for every prophet, there is an arch enemy, right? The arch enemy, the number one enemy. And for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his number one enemy, he was, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, Nubay bin Khalaf were minors. The number one enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Jahl, right? Abu Jahl. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the number one enemy for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Lahab. And he says that because he was the first person to openly reject the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called people towards Islam, he said, Tabban lak alihada jama'atana. May you be cursed. This is why you gathered us together. So Ibn Abbas said, the number one enemy for the Prophet was his uncle Abu Lahab, and the number one enemy for Musa was Qarun. And he says the reason is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was related to Abu Lahab. That's what made him such a harsh of an enemy. He was his uncle. And Qarun was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. But it was his jealousy. We're going to come to that very soon, inshallah. When we read the verses regarding Qarun, we'll discuss that story and talk about how sometimes even within relations, jealousy can lead a person so far. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from these beautiful lessons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to stay in the company of the pious and righteous. And Allah gives us death with the pious as well. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.